Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A lot to talk about, and here in studio is Steve Curtis, founder of LifeCommercials.com. Steve, thanks for joining us.
It's always good to be here, Bob.
So, and there's always something going on in this fight to stop child killing.
Just in the last 30 minutes, sitting here watching what's been going on in here, the Chicago Tribune just calling and wanting an interview, and just amazing, everything else that's going on.
Hopefully that went well. We could talk about that a bit, and then Peggy Lunan, the interview that we conducted yesterday, that we'll finish next week. Let's chat about that.
Okay.
And then we've got a golf tournament coming up. That's tomorrow. In fact,
Tomorrow out at Arrowhead Country Club, LifeCommercials.com, our annual Tournament for Life golf. Tomorrow starts early, 7 a.m.
7 a.m. tee time.
7 a.m. to register, and about 7:45 we're going to tee off tomorrow.
And Steve, you said that here on Bob Enyart Live we could give away one free round of golf.
Right, a $115 value.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
So yeah, it includes lunch and everything, but
Now we're giving away one. If somebody wanted to come out and play, what does that cost?
It's $115.
$115.
Yeah, this is an incredibly beautiful course, though.
So, yeah, Arrowhead. So we'll talk more about it later in the program. But people could call here 800-8-N-YARDS to ask for the free round of golf. First one calls gets it.
That's it.
Or if you're a golfer.
Right.
Or to come to the Colorado Right to Life Banquet, we'll talk about later in the show, or to help us with our Bob Enyart Live annual telethon for staying on the Internet at KGOV.com. So any of those reasons, please call. Steve, I've got three tables for the banquet, Colorado Right to Life, and we've almost filled the third table now. And then we have Denver Bible Church has got tables, and the room is filling up nicely to hear Phil Klein, Attorney General, who went after George Tiller. So we got those things to talk about, and also when our next newspaper ad will be running, the full page ad about directed to an open letter to Dr. James Dobson, but the Chicago Tribune. Let's start there.
Well, yeah, terrific. I mean, we were sitting in here just a little bit ago, and it pops up on your screen. The Chicago Tribune wants an interview, and of course, they're doing a feature story on the Planned Parenthood
in Aurora, Illinois. That opened up under subterfuge. They built it lying to the community and to local officials when they did their permit process and all.
Right, yeah, they're pulling permits across the country under different names, and then once they get the building finished and get their certificate of occupancy, then they're putting the real name on the building.
In fact, they did kind of spring
it on the communities that they're in.
And just like they were doing here in Denver, and they were doing it under Gemini Office Development, which is the acronym is GOD. And, you know, I think they must think they're gods because they just decide to kill kids, and they think they could get away with it. Wait until they meet the real God.
Yeah, then it won't be so funny, will it?
It won't be so funny. No, when you kill kids and you do it, you know, it's wicked, and they do it for money, and I think because they hate God. So this reporter, his name is Russell Working, and, of course, we recorded the interview, and perhaps next week we'll consider airing that interview. But he wanted to know what was going on here in Denver, and we announced our Collaborators Project. This is run by Will Duffy and by Keith Mason. Keith ran the Collaborators Project in Wichita, Kansas, where what's-his-name is located? Late-term abortionist?
Tiller the Baby Killer.
George Tiller, the Baby Killer. And Keith has done a tremendous job out there. In fact, you could see it on the Internet at OperationRescue.org, and you click on the link called Blood Money, because that's what it is. And so we have talked to the senior management at the Weitz Corporation. This is the oldest construction company in America. They're the general contractor for this $4.2 million, which what looks like it will be the largest abortion clinic in the country in East Denver, in a minority neighborhood, which they always do that. And we've talked to their senior management and said, you know, for 15 years, we've been doing home protests of abortionists. And we have no expectation that they will ever quit. We go to their homes for a different reason. And now we have targeted the Weitz Corporation and your senior management, including Gary Megason, Senior VP of the Rocky Mountain Division, and for as long, not just while you're building this abortion clinic. That's not when we're coming to your homes with our pictures of aborted children. For as long as they are killing children in this new facility, for as many years as they kill kids, we will be in your neighborhood.
And what a terrific way to bring the realization of what they're doing home to them, literally home to them.
Literally.
You know, so it's not a matter of, you know, a one-time protest. And I would think that this would really have to cause them to rethink their relationship with Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. building these facilities across the country.
Yeah, we had our first protest at his home. His wife was home. The neighborhood came out in shock. 6 police cars showed up. We had a tremendous protest. 25 people, about 2 hours, huge signs. And after about 40 minutes, the police left, all the police, because they knew that we're Christians, we're law-abiding, we're saying stop the killing. That's what we're saying.
Right.
And the police left, and it was a very powerful time. And you know what was interesting? Typically, we get no support from the neighborhood, or maybe one car giving us a thumbs up. We had probably half a dozen people in the neighborhood give us a thumbs up or even thank us for going there.
This is terrific. This is good news. This is good news. And, you know, be sure and announce when the next one is, because I'd like to be part of that myself.
Well, that's neat. We will do that. We're going to focus on Saturday protests, Sunday afternoon protests, so we'll let the audience know when they're happening.
Terrific.
Thank you. So that was the Tribune interview, and that went fine, and we'll see what they do with this. But then Peggy Lunan, she's been a long time. You know about her, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was telling you earlier, I was all week long, I was so just excited because I thought you were going to interview Peggy Noonan, the former Ronald Reagan speechwriter, who's written some really good books and some terrific articles over the years. And you know, has a very strong pro-life background. And then
when I told you Peggy Lunan was coming on, I'm sure I misspoke. Said Peggy Noonan.
And then yesterday when I tune in, I'm driving through rush hour in Denver, and I tune in and I hear it's Peggy Lunan, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, that couldn't be more different now, could it?
Yeah, that couldn't be more different. You're right.
It's like thinking that you're going to hear a Mother Teresa interview, and instead it's Hillary Clinton. You know.
Yeah. The very end of the interview, it was about an hour long, and so we'll air the second half of it next week, I believe. But at the very end, I said, Peggy, my last question to you is this. When a baby is in the first trimester and he's sucking his thumb, playing with his toes, he sleeps, he goes into sleep, alpha waves, beta waves in his brain, as scientists measure and detect. How does Planned Parenthood kill that baby? The baby who is in the first trimester and he's sucking his thumb. What do they do? What is the method?
And what was her response?
She didn't want to answer.
Of course not.
So I said, Peggy Lunan, I said, I support circumcision for babies, for male infants. I can tell people how it's done. And she said, what's the purpose, Bob? I said, well, to educate the public on a medical issue. This is something you support. So could you tell the audience? And this went on for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. She would not explain to the audience how that child is killed. And I said, well, when you hang up, Peggy, I will tell the audience.
Well, yeah. And Peggy has been allowed to kind of, you know, go along with her take on this whole thing for so many years, because too often people are just trying to be nice and get along in interviews, and she really probably didn't expect a real interview, you know, about getting down to the substance of what she believed in. I noticed she was very evasive. Well, she wouldn't. Yeah, she kept saying, well, I don't want to talk about my own views. I'm here to talk about my organization's position.
Yeah, as though.
But why do you hold that position? Well, that would be my view, and I don't want to talk about it. As if you could separate the organization's position.
That she's the founder and executive director of. What, did somebody take it over?
Well, if you go to her website, she's just got some very interesting thoughts about the thing. And it's just so demonic to sit there and watch her try to twist the Bible to make a case for abortion. You know, they always like to say, oh, well, God never even mentions abortion in the Bible.
And of course he does. The killing of an unborn child in Exodus chapter 21. And if the child dies, it's life for life. So,
right, exactly.
And we had that debate with a pastor a few months ago on this show, and you could listen to it on KGOV.com. Just go to our search bar. I think if you search for Exodus, it'll pop up. Exodus chapter 21. But at any rate, I asked her, where do our rights come from? And she said, the culture. And I said, so how about when the culture says it's okay to own blacks or kill Jews or use women or whatever? And she admitted she didn't want to. It's like she's debating herself. Then she admitted that some cultures do things that are worse, bad, that should be corrected, should be fixed. So I said, so Peggy, you obviously don't believe that the standard is the culture. So what is the standard? And the truth is, she has kicked God out of her own personal life and out of public policy. And as a result, you have no foundation to condemn mass murder, rape, any kind of injustice. You have no foundation because some people prefer it.
Well, and that's the problem with not having something more than the culture's latest take on something.
Right.
Because then the culture changes its mind, and then suddenly you've got chaos. You know, now everything's changing, and you have nothing concrete to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, this is, yeah. I sit on the city council up in Firestone, town board. And, you know, it is the most insane thing to go through this collaborative decision-making process. I'll tell you, Bob, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It does not work.
It's a sham.
It is. It is. It's just absolutely insane. We were listening to a school board issue last night, even though we're not the school board. It seems to be, you know, the favorite thing that we have to deal with. But, you know, it's people come up and one person will stand up there and say, why won't you represent your constituents? And, you know, you got elected.
They actually think that that's a logical statement.
Right.
They
exactly.
don't know that people disagree.
Exactly.
And I hear conservatives call, let's say, Laura Ingraham's national radio show. And they say, why don't our officials represent us and do what we want them to do? And she agrees with them. And I think, have these people ever spent a moment thinking about that?
Right.
Because people disagree, and more people said crucify him than would have defended Jesus Christ. So people disagree about the most fundamental issues of right and wrong.
Well, and when you get elected, when somebody is elected to office, the time to learn about their positions is while they're running, you know, and they get elected because of what they say during the campaign. Once they're elected, it's not that you, as a public official, would ignore people, but you got elected because of your views, or at least you should have if people are paying attention.
Well, that's true.
You didn't get elected. And now you have to represent those views. You can't just be changing every time one person opens their mouth and disagrees with you.
You know, democracy really brings out the worst in people and egotism. Christianity looks to people to be humble. And democracy has people saying to the leaders of the nation, you work for me. You better do what I tell you to do. I pay your paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just brings out the worst in people. And even trying to lord it over your neighbors, and I'm going to be the president. So Rudy Giuliani works for years because he wants to manipulate and position himself to be the leader of the nation. And there's something gross about that.
Right.
There's something gross. It's an honor when you are put in a position of authority because of your qualifications or other people respect you. But when you claw your way so you can lord it over your neighbors, it's sort of gross.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, as somebody that, you know, has served in that, not that capacity, but in a capacity, I mean, let's just be honest about it. I'm there to represent my own view.
Right.
Okay.
Course.
Not your view. No. Not the view of any one person that got me elected.
Right.
If I'm going to take the guff and go through the time to study all the issues and to show up to all the meetings and do this gratis, I'm there to represent what I believe is best. And yet you get these people that really believe in this democracy thing, and you're here to represent me. And why exactly would that be?
It'd be so funny. You know, every so often somebody says, Bob, you should run for whatever. And that old line, if nominated, I will not run. And if elected, I will not serve.
Exactly. Yeah. The Lyndon Johnson line.
Yeah. I love the thought of saying to somebody, okay, here's what I'll do. Every time there's a vote, I'll call you and you tell me how to vote. You know,
exactly.
That's what people think. They're so short-sighted. So let's take a call. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Dan, you're on Bob and Yart Live and with Steve Curtis.
Hi, Bob. It's really nice talking to you. And I just wanted to make a quick point. I when I heard you talking to that Peggy Lunan yesterday.
Yes.
And And she said, oh, there's nothing in the Bible against abortion and all this. And I was just thinking, John the Baptist was in Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist.
At 6 months of gestation.
And the Holy Spirit filled John the Baptist in the womb, and he leapt.
With
he
joy.
He leaped in her womb. That we wouldn't have had John the Baptist had they aborted John the Baptist.
Well, that's true. And Jesus said he was the greatest among men.
And if the Holy Spirit can fill a baby in the womb, then that baby is obviously a human person.
And how about all the tens of thousands of babies that are born prematurely and they love their mother? As in the second they come out of the womb, they obviously loved her while they were still in the womb.
Well, amen.
And they feel pain. And they want to be held and touched, and they want to be looked at. They're human beings, and Peggy Lunan is a murderer.
Well,
that's
sure.
What pro-choice people are.
But when I've always thought that was the biggest point in the Bible to me, was the fact that the Holy Spirit filled a baby before it was born, the baby leapt in the womb.
That's a great point, and God has fellowship with children in the womb. So thank you very much, Dan.
Amen. Thanks, Bob.
I appreciate that. Steve, one time later in the debate, Peggy Noonan. There I
How
go.
About Lunan?
Peggy Lunan said, see, I must have said it to you last week.
Just think, you know, you got to do that word association,
lunatic.
There you go.
Okay, there we
go. I mean, just think of the things she
and then
says,
it'll come out.
It'll come out correctly.
Peggy Lunan, she was arguing that viability is where it matters. Viability. And so I said, okay, in Colorado, we don't have any law against killing kids past viability, so do you support that? Oh, no, I don't support that. She totally opposes trying to get a law like that here.
Right.
And so it shows the hypocrisy. It shows the lie. She says what matters is viability. After that, what, Peggy? You don't care if they kill kids then. You're a hypocrite because there's no God in your foundation.
Yeah, viability is one of those arguments that unreasonable people came up with to try to sound reasonable. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it was like partial birth abortion. Well, I'm pro-choice, but mm-hmm. I don't agree with partial birth abortion. And right. it's just one of those things that people get away with because we let them get away with it.
All right. Now, in Lakewood, Colorado, Greg, you're on with Steve Curtis.
Hi, Steve and Bob.
Howdy.
Hi, Greg.
We're going back to politics and getting elected. As throughout history and even biblically, don't we conclude that evil is just inherent throughout those agencies?
Well, human beings are fallen, so we're all sinful.
True.
And every institution is run by human beings, so there are no sinless human beings. But if somebody says to me, I'm a skinhead, I think we should kill blacks, that would disqualify that person for being a leader. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter that we're all sinners. There are certain issues that are disqualifying. Like Rudy Giuliani. Let's say we found out that he was an embezzler. Right, Steve Curtis? How about that? Let's say, this hasn't happened, but let's say we found out he embezzled $500,000 from New York City. Well, he would be disqualified then. That's it. He's out.
Right, but you know, you see people's standards. You know, that would be a big issue and would cost him the nomination.
But killing kids.
But killing babies is not.
Hugh Hewitt loves the guy. Sean Hannity loves the guy.
Pat Robertson
loves
the guy.
I mean, they hate Michael Vick for killing dogs.
Right.
But Rudy Giuliani viciously will murder unborn children, even late term, and Sean Hannity fawns all over Rudy Giuliani.
And wears a dress and believes in homosexual marriage.
That's the main difference between Rudy and Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
Rudy
wears pants.
Will occasionally wear a dress.
That's right.
As he's done on the internet. Okay, so, Greg, so yeah, there is sin in human beings, and they run our institutions. That's true.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'll tell you, when you're making decisions, and, you know, like in the capacity that I serve in now, we make, you know, relatively minor decisions, land use decisions and ordinances for, you know, speeding and what the fine's going to be and that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to the bigger issues, it's just amazing how lost people are. Mm. How when you're trying to make bigger decisions, how people really don't seem to have a central set of beliefs that they could believe in.
Right.
And when they, you know, they'll come up with this mantra about public education. You know, we have to support public education. And if you say one simple thing like, why is that?
Yeah, they don't know.
The conversation stops and people are just stunned into disbelief.
Homeschooling is so much more effective, and it doesn't put sexual immorality into, it doesn't pour it into kids' brains like the public schools do.
And maybe costs, what, 2 or 3% of what a public education costs, with none of the negative benefits. You know, you don't have, you know, school shootings and drugs and, you know, all that kind of stuff in your home school.
Gangs.
And when when people say, well, you know, why aren't you supporting the public education system? It's the answer's obvious, because I don't support public education.
Right.
I mean, they don't know what to do with that, though.
So, Greg from Lakewood, so you pointed out that our institutions are run by sinful human beings, but, you know, there's not a sinless pastor anywhere in the country.
Correct.
And God knows that, yet some men are qualified to be pastors and others are not. And the same thing is true with leaders. Some men are disqualified for being leaders because they're embezzlers, or they want to kill kids, or they promote sexual immorality, and so on. All right?
So, I mean, go back to the election for the 08. The only viable candidate I can even see so far is Ron Paul.
Well, Ron Paul, for years, I don't know much about Ron Paul personally, but for years, he was a part of the Libertarian Party. And I'm waiting for him to condemn the Libertarian Party for officially promoting homosexuality, abortion, drug use, prostitution, pornography. I mean, the Libertarians are immoral conservative wannabes. And so Ron Paul is a product of the Libertarian Party. So I'm certainly not on the Ron Paul bandwagon. But if he has repented of years of promoting a godless party, then I'm all ears. I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the same thing. I hear him speak about certain things, and I see some of his writings on certain things. And I know his background as a doctor, delivering over 4,000 babies and being just adamantly pro-life. And then you wonder, how did this same man end up in the Libertarian Party that would not support that at all? It just makes no sense.
Adamantly pro-life, sort of like Mitt Romney, because Ron Paul said this in a recent debate, Republicans. He said that the abortion issue is not a make-or-break issue. If a Republican candidate is pro-abortion, that doesn't disqualify him from getting our support.
Yeah, and how is that?
Right.
How is that? I mean, it gets back to, but if we found out that he had embezzled $1,000 somewhere along the line.
Yeah, then he's out.
Well, this would be, he'd be out of the race in a day or two.
Right, or if he said a racial slur, probably, he'd be out. But if it's Rudy Giuliani and he supports killing kids, and Greg, I don't know, did you see the debate I'm referring to? This is about two debates back. And all the candidates were asked if the final nominee of the party is a pro-abortion, pro-choice candidate, would you support him? And Ron Paul said yes, which says he doesn't believe killing unborn children is murder. Because a rational, moral human being would not say, I support a murderer for president.
And we're hearing the same thing with Fred Thompson. You know, they say since Fred Thompson got in the race about a week ago, that Mitt Romney's numbers are now in the low single digits, that he's taken over that ground as the consensus conservative.
Right.
And yet when you hear his, when you hear him trying to fight his way out of the past things that he has done for pro-abortion companies as an attorney, and his own past statements about, I mean, his big thing is, well, you know, Roe v. Wade should be overturned and we should send it back to the states. I mean, if there was ever a national issue, isn't protecting the lives of your citizens that?
Right,
I mean, isn't
that,
I mean, if we had to have one thing that government should do, wouldn't that be the one thing? But he can't get that, and he keeps stumbling over it, trying to get to a place. You know, I mean, these guys are all fighting to try to figure out the right combination of words to say something that would convey to us a message that they don't really believe in. And it's just so simple. It's just so simple. If you don't believe in abortion, say, I will do everything I can to get rid of abortion, period. That's
right.
It.
That's right. Greg, thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you, guys.
You're welcome. I appreciate that. We're about out of time. This Fred Thompson, he's in this TV show, Law and Order.
Right.
And he's a prosecutor or whatever. And he apparently has been campaigning for the last couple years of production in that show. Actually, as the character in the show. So there's a report that he said in one of the shows, well, I'm pro-life, but I'm more pro-law. And you know what? That really sums up all these Republicans.
Exactly.
Because they'll say, well, if the law says you can kill the kid, then I support killing the kid. And it's states' rights.
Well, and, you know, if you watch that show, and I'm a, I've said before on your program here, I'm a just an avid Law and Order fan. It was pretty clear that he was trying to take that kind of conservative libertarian bent on
right,
the whole thing.
Right.
You know, it's the old I'm pro-life, but
right.
You know, well,
exactly.
Forget it then. Just
right.
Forget it. Don't expect
right.
My vote.
Steve Curtis, thanks for joining us. The banquet for Colorado Right to Life is a week from Saturday, and you'll be there. Life
I'll be there. We have a table.
Has a table, and the home pickets to try to stop this building of this Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. You could find out more about that by calling us at Bob and Yurt Live at 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Same number to get your free round of golf at tomorrow's golf tournament at Arrowhead. That'll be tremendous. Tee time, 7 in the morning. And if you'd like to help us with our telethon, it's all the same number, and we need your help to stay on the air. And our next full-page ad for Dr. Dobson, Steve, it's on Monday in Mississippi.
Terrific.
At Don Wildman's territory. Maranatha Christian Center, with a great school in Arvada. May God bless you.